this holiday season.
I could get used to a view like this.
Feel the force of a horse.
You're such a good boy.
Get a hug from a thug.
No, no, put me down.
Spend some time with a mime. And watch the whole town turn upside down.
Here.
Maybe we should get you home. Call it a day.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Tangled. Rated PG. In 3D, November 24th.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinemarcade. This is the podcast about movies, video games, and the sparks that fly when those two worlds collide. My name is Steve Guntley, and who do we have joining us here today?
Hi. I am a roguish young man who is probably too old for the woman he's pursuing.
Ooh, okay, all right.
That's not true.
We're throwing down gauntlets already.
He's like 26 in the movie, 25.
I don't know.
He's like 23, maybe tops. I'm sorry, some men can grow facial hair at a young age.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He basically, it's her birthday.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that. Let's finish introducing people.
I am a dashing swords lady with incredibly long hair.
Yeah, I mean, this is all actually pretty true. You're accurately describing yourself.
J-Ban.
The movie we're talking about is Disney's Tangled. Give me a second. I'm building to it. The movie we're talking about is Disney's Tangled from 2010. This is a movie that features a beautiful young blonde woman with long hair. And so we needed some blonde representation on this episode. And so we are joined by special guest Ailish Collins. Welcome back, Ailish.
Thank you for introducing me. I was going to call myself a horse. And
you still have that option.
Nay.
Wait, are you refusing to introduce yourself as a horse, or were you introducing yourself as a horse?
Picked up with a horse noise.
Well, we are happy to have Ailish back on the show. Usually here and in the other room yelling facts at us. So it's nice to have you actually on mic. We appreciate it.
Or texting facts to Steve.
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. You're like the man on the computer. You're the one feeding information.
To marine animals.
Yeah. You know a lot about marine animals.
I wonder why.
This whole thing takes place on land.
It does. That is kind of a bummer, I have to say.
I'm out of my depth.
A little bit of water.
There's some water. Yeah, there was some water.
But there's no aquatic creatures.
That is true.
Not really.
Yeah.
That is true.
But the movie today is Tangled. It was released November 29th, 2010. It's directed by Nathan Greno and Byron Howard, and it's written by Dan Fogelman. And it stars Mandy Moore, Zachary Levi, Donna Murphy, Ron Perlman, Brad Garrett, Jeffrey Tambor, and my favorite, Paul F. Tompkins.
In the second time we see the villains, the whatever you would call them,
the twins, the thugs.
He spoke, and I'm like, wait a minute, is that Ron Perlman?
It's old Hellboy himself. Yeah,
very clearly,
absolutely.
I was very happy about that.
Yeah, Tangled is a pretty interesting movie if you are like a Disney nerd. I think this is kind of an interesting transitional movie that sort of helped usher them into this new renaissance that they've been in the last, like, decade. I guess that's kind of slowing down to a degree as well.
I don't know if I'd call it renaissance. Maybe
surge in popularity?
High Middle Ages?
Yeah. Sure, yeah, absolutely.
The introduction of a new dimension.
Okay, all right, yeah. So Martin Luther has handed, like, yeah,
the
no,
multiverse?
No. Yeah.
Well, I was talking last night about this, about like, because like this does definitely they try to marry Pixar storytelling with musicals, and like this is the first time that they really tried to do that. A couple of the leaders of Pixar were also leading on this and working with Alan Menken, and it's just like you can see like both styles sort of warring at each other in this movie, while later on, like say Encanto, you really find that they hit the sweet spot of having the Pixar like storytelling along with like the real bops.
Absolutely. I would argue this is kind of the point where Pixar and Disney started becoming a little interchangeable to a degree because, you know, so if to put it in context, like think from like 2000 to like this movie in 2010, Pixar is kind of unstoppable. You know, it's bop after bop. It's Finding Nemo. It's Monsters, Inc. It's The Incredibles. It's Ratatouille. It's WALL-E. It's just nonstop hits for Pixar. And in the meantime, Disney, the proper like Disney studio, is really struggling to find its feet. And a lot of that, this is an interesting thing that people don't really talk about enough in terms of Disney movies, but a lot of it was they were failing because they were starting to target their movies to boys. Mm-hmm. And Disney has always succeeded more with young women than it has with young men. So we get movies like, you know, and some of these are good movies to be clear, but they were financial struggles like Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis, Treasure Planet, Home on the Range.
Man, they definitely targeted some of these towards boys.
Absolutely. Brother Bear, you know, like
Brother Bear kind of sucked. But Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove is great. Atlantis, I like Atlantis. Home on the Range is one of the worst Disney movies ever made. It's unwatchable. I
haven't seen that one.
Oh, we'll get to it. It's terrible. But yeah, so they were really trying and struggling to make this happen. They were also struggling with this toss-up between hand-drawn animation, like the classical Disney style that sort of made their bones back in the 80s and 90s, and this new CG-influenced animation that was starting to become more popular with Pixar and with DreamWorks, especially with the Shrek movies, like blowing up the way that they were. So they start kind of dipping their toes into that, and the first couple that they try are sort of unremarkable. It's like Chicken Little, Meet the Robinsons, Bolt. It's movies like that that don't really have much of a cultural tale. So it's interesting to look at Disney at this point and kind of wonder what's going on. 2009, they decide, okay, our biggest brand has always been Disney princesses. So we need to stop kind of messing around trying to target the boy market and let's get back to princesses. They try The Princess and the Frog, which does well, is critically well liked.
I don't know why it has such a negative reputation for being such a successful movie, because it was actually quite successful.
It was, and it was one of those things where, like, on paper, yeah, it made money, but Disney wanted it to be a bonanza, and it wasn't that. You know, it wasn't among their higher tier, like, most successful films. And so they kind of chalked that up as a failure. And so in the midst of all this, there's Tangled. Okay, so Tangled first came around. It was first started being pitched as a Rapunzel movie in 1996. It was by Glenn Keane, who was kind of one of the big beloved animators of Disney at the time. He really wanted to do it, and he wanted to do a traditional hand-drawn animation. But so they kicked the story around for a little bit, and by 2001, Shrek came out, and Shrek was this massive, massive hit that was targeting both kind of younger people and older people. And so the CEO at Disney at the time, I think it was Eisner, he wanted this movie to be kind of totally restructured and become a little bit more of a winky, computer-animated, Shrek-style version of the Rapunzel tale. It was going to be called Rapunzel Unbraided. And so in 2003, they start working on that. They attach Reese Witherspoon to star in this film as Rapunzel. Kristen Chenoweth was going to play the Evil Queen.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That's kind of a fun, yeah, that's kind of a fun pairing. Interestingly, Reese Witherspoon also attached to do the main voice in Brave, another like kind of Disney princess movie. And in both times she got replaced kind of at the last minute. Although in this case, it wasn't because she couldn't do a Scottish accent. I think the tone of the story just kind of changed. So by 2006 or seven, they're looking at the movie that they have. They've renamed it Rapunzel, and they kind of decide that they don't want to go the Shrek route anymore, because the Shrek phenomenon sort of hit and left in that 6-year period that they were developing it.
But it never left our hearts.
It never left our hearts. It continues to impregnate Sonic the Hedgehog to this day.
Excuse me?
Have you not seen those crazy fan arts like Shrek and Sonic the Hedgehog have a baby and it's Batman? Yeah.
What?
Or maybe it's the other way around. Shrek and Batman have a baby and it's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Is there some interesting Tumblr rabbit holes that you've been down?
Am I just revealing what I look at?
Your browsing history? Yeah. I think so.
Shrek and Batman make more sense as a couple and Sonic is a baby.
I don't know. No, Shrek and Batman don't make sense as a couple.
Batman is the baby?
That I agree. Okay. Batman is the baby. Doesn't
if Batman's the baby, that means both of them are doomed to die.
That's true. Oh, man. That's a dark little Tumblr that we're talking about.
about.
I'm glad you sneak up on Shrek in an alley.
I'm glad we went down the rabbit hole.
Oh yeah.
of which one is the more appropriate baby, and who goes better with Shrek?
Weird deviant art that my friends used to send me to gross me out.
I feel like Batman would raise Shrek really well. He has a good job of raising. I mean, like a complicated job of raising orphans.
I don't know. He's emotionally distant, and you know.
No, that's why I said complicated.
Yeah,
I mean, he'd raise Shrek to be the badass that Shrek is.
Oh well, sure.
But he would be emotionally stunted. Therefore, Batman would be the parent of Shrek.
Yeah,
We had not discussed Shrek as the baby.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that could be the third variable. That's the one that unlocks this whole thing. It finally clicks into place. We all understand it. So Tangled.
Sonic and Batman, then.
Yes.
Okay.
I
don't think they're a good
maybe
couple.
Maybe Knuckles.
But
yeah.
Maybe Knuckles.
Maybe Knuckles.
Well, that's because Batman's a fuckboy.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
And sure Knuckles isn't? Man. Come on. Anyway, I'm going to get this back on track somehow. All right, so 2007, they basically decide to scrap the whole sort of like edgy Rapunzel that they were going for, and they decide to go back to like a traditional kind of earnest Disney movie. But this means this is like the third time that they've restarted this movie. So at this point, the budget for this movie has ballooned to be about $300 million. That makes it far and away the most expensive animated film ever made. One of the most expensive. I had mistakenly thought it was the most expensive film ever made. It still falls behind like most of the Star Wars
Avatar.
And Marvels and things like that.
I think
that.
Avatar 2 is the most expensive movie ever made.
That one's up there for sure, yeah. But Tangled is in the conversation, and it's definitely in terms of animation, the most expensive film ever made. And so in
I understand like, but I feel like it's sort of like a bad way to like quantify how much a movie costs is like if it takes 20 years in development.
I think the reason that gets lumped in is just because they had movies in production. They had like almost completed movies in production that they just sort of started over with. And that's something that Pixar used to do a lot, and that's something that Disney started doing too. It's just like, all right, yeah, this isn't working. Let's just redo it. So they recast the roles. They wanted more musical people to be involved, so they cast Mandy Moore as Rapunzel and Zachary Levi, who I think people really knew him from that show Chuck at this time, but he was also like a big Broadway star.
He's dreamy.
Yeah, he's a dreamy guy.
He's a dreamboat. And I always wanted him to play.
Is he dreamy or is he just tall?
No, he's dreamy.
Okay, all right.
He's and tall.
He's funny and charming and like handsome and tall and got a luscious head of hair. But more than anything, he's actually funny. And I feel like this is like one of the things that I've always wanted him to be in a superhero role. So I was really happy when he got cast in the first Shazam.
I never saw the second one.
Yeah,
right.
I hear it's kind of bad. I think that first one is
so many characters.
That first one's really underrated and like kind of underseen. I think it's a very charming. It's like if Big was a superhero, and that's a really fun idea. And I like that movie a lot, but I never bothered with two.
The only reason why I am familiar with Zachary Levi is because he hosted the Video Game Awards one year.
Oh, did he? Okay, all right. So you're not a Marvelous Mrs. Maisel fan, I take it. Yeah,
no,
he was on that
for a bit.
I feel like Chuck would be up your alley.
Yeah, you'd like Chuck.
I don't remember which one that is.
It's about a tech nerd who becomes a super spy.
Yeah, considering you're directing a super spy show. Maybe.
Yeah, that
and I'm a tech nerd.
And you're a tech nerd.
He works in IT. Yeah.
That would be like right up your alley, yeah.
Or but, would I just be angry at all the things that are wrong?
He could be. I don't know. He works at like a Best Buy in that show. So he doesn't need to be super top. But yeah, this movie, they renamed it to just Rapunzel. This is kind of the controversial title. I never really thought about this in terms of like why they changed the title from Rapunzel, which is a recognizable fairy tale character that does not a more complicated name than like Ratatouille or anything like that. So I was like, why did they change this to Tangled? And I realized it's because they wanted this to be more of a two-hander. They wanted a character that was going to appeal to girls, and they wanted a character that was going to appeal to boys. And that's why Flynn Rider was brought in and basically is the co-lead of this. And so they are entangled to a degree. And I think that apparently that was kind of a controversial decision at the time. Like a lot of the choices that this movie made were scrutinized a little bit for maybe making a Disney princess movie, they were trying to pander a little bit too much to boys. I think the idea was more that it's a movie that should appeal to everybody, but I understand a little bit about where the complaints come from.
I don't know. I feel like this is like one of the issues with like Princess and the Frog is like having sometimes having a sidekick or like they need to be sidekicky. Flynn Rider is definitely not sidekicky.
No.
He definitely takes a lot of the focus away from Rapunzel.
He does.
And I feel like that let Rapunzel's character be underdeveloped in this film, especially.
I agree.
Like, and she's so, like, I get that she lives in a tower and she's supposed to be naive, but they may portray her as so stupid.
Yeah.
This is, like, I like this movie, but she's clearly the stupidest Disney princess.
I definitely want to go into this because the success of this movie. Yeah, I mean, this movie came out and it was very expensive, but it was a big hit. It was the eighth highest grossing movie of its year, and it was very well liked.
And that was
2010. Okay. And so, and it ushered in this kind of new era for Disney where they get to kind of have their cake and eat it too. They get to do the CGI animation and try and do things more in the Pixar realm, but they also get to go back to their Disney Princess catalog, which, of course, leads us in 2013 to the massive success of Frozen, which kind of upended everything.
Hit the spot. Frozen,
yes,
is such a, like, filled with bops, filled with character, filled with ennui.
This is where I'm coming from. This is the same issue. Like, so I've always liked Tangled. I think Tangled is a good movie, and I've never loved it. And I have a lot of friends who really advocate for this as like the best Disney princess movie or the best Disney movie recently. And I'm like, no, I can't really get on board with that, especially if you compare it with Frozen and see how much agency and independence and kind of character that those two women have in that movie. And you compare it to Rapunzel, who really is kind of a question mark, right? Am I off base in that?
I mean, you literally told me that last night.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was reading in bed and you came and you were like, I think I figured out the problem with Tangled.
Yes.
It's that she's underdeveloped.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
She was asleep, by the way. I woke her up. Wake up! Wake up! I figured out the problem with Tangled! Yeah.
I solved it!
Yeah. No, there's a lot I like about it. It does feel very, like, classically 90s in its songwriting. Like you said, Alan Menken brought in to do, like, the songs on this, you know, and it feels very much like
who did the soundtrack?
That's Alan Menken is the same guy who did Lion King.
He's a composer. They had a different guy do the lyrics, Glenn something or other.
But then you have, if you compare it to the music in, again, we're going to compare it to Frozen a lot, but like compare it to the songs in Frozen, which do feel a little more modern, you know, like the songs in this still feel like a little bit of a 90s throwback, like which were like a 50s Broadway throwback.
The Frozen ones are. They're also more Broadway. Like the Frozen songs are like the Do You Want to Build a Snowman is a whole song about the emotion of being rejected by your sister. It's such a so good. Okay, we shouldn't talk about Frozen.
Episode.
The songs but in Rapunzel don't, or Entangled don't do that.
The only one that does is Mother Knows Best.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's the best thing about this movie is the villain, because she's played by Donna Murphy, who's another Broadway legend, you know, and she comes in, and this is a really unique villain for the Disney canon in a lot of ways, because she is emotionally manipulative and emotionally abusive in a way you don't really see in kids' films like this.
Yeah.
Like, really blatantly, and like you could see it and like feel a little triggered by it, like if you grew up in any kind of that environment, you know, the casual jabs about her weight, like the constantly undermining her, the love bombing to like keep her in place. You know, all of that is so effective. The gaslighting too, yeah.
And then the points where she is actively ignoring Rapunzel and her thought, like her emotions and stuff, to serve her own purpose, to try to maybe deviate away from it, to whatever. I absolutely watched that and I was like, I don't like her.
And it's a nice update to a classical trope, because the classical, like, vain witch who doesn't want to lose her youth and beauty is a fairy tale staple for a million years. You know, it's from the original story. And I like that they're able to update that and see the way that a person like that would project onto their daughter or onto like the figure that they're raising.
They definitely did a good job of making her less likable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's clearly a bad person.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. She, the moment that she grabs the knife, you're like, oh, okay. That's where this is going. She has a dagger and is now going to get her.
Yeah.
I also feel like she's a bit more complicated villain than a lot of... Like, one of the things that makes Disney successful are its villains.
Yeah.
And definitely when the villains have multi-dimensional capabilities... multi-dimensional capabilities.
Like Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're yeah. 3D now.
They are. They have a whole extra 40, dimension.
Actually.
Yeah.
When they have like, and it definitely feels like Gothel does love Rapunzel, but she's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when a terrible person loves somebody, they still love them. They're just terrible.
I mean, it's so telling, like, that their little ritual is like, I love you more, I love you most.
Yeah.
It's outdoing you. It's reinforcing that I'm the one who loves you most. No one can love you this much. It's pretty brutal, like, watching it.
As I was watching it, there were so many times where I was like, if anybody ever says that, that's a red flag. If anybody says that, that's a red flag. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
This is a
we
good,
hit a
like,
lot
indicator.
Of red flags.
Yeah, if you're recognizing any of your own relationship in this relationship, then that's a good red flag to put up. And that's a, you know. All right, so this is a big blonde representation movie, I think. I think this is big in the blonde
you turn
community.
To the one
do, you,
blonde.
Do you talk about this in your blonde circles, Ailish? Your
my
secret message boards?
Multiple, yeah, my blonde club.
Yes.
We don't really, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
She's too smart.
Oh, I
so
see. So you're resentful
identify.
Of her.
But we do identify with the part where her hair gets cut and turns brown and she loses her magic.
This is...
She thinks she loses her magic.
She loses her magic.
Oh, okay. She just like the last
she
little bit of
it
comes
out.
She
only had it when she was hot and blonde.
No, she's still... So it's an interesting historical fact that King's tears were thought to be magical for a really long time. That's why Aragorn in Lord of the Rings has the ability to heal people by crying on them, which is a cut out. I think it's in the extended version, but not in... I don't know if it's in the extended... I think it's the extended version of Return of the King.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar, but yeah, I trust
you. But yeah, that's a classic, like, royal tears heal people.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut from folklore.
Yeah,
so you're welcome.
I appreciate that. I did not know that at all.
We should take all the royals and make them cry.
Yeah, yeah, I think we should. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what's happening to a lot of them right now. Apparently, they're all disappearing or like getting sick. It's
I don't
weird.
Know. Let's not wade into that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I thought it was just like it was. I don't know. The whole thing with Kate Middleton is so shady.
Yeah.
Like putting out like a doctored photo and then
yeah,
being like, oh, it was her idea to doctor the photo. I'm like, come off of it. It's not her
weird.
Idea. You have Kensington Palace, and if you have Kensington Palace, couldn't you just make a photo that, like,
do you think they'd have better Photoshop operators there? Yeah, but either way, but yeah, no, I that element of it always struck me a little weird. Like her hair is magical and like sentient when it's blonde. And then when
is
she
her
cuts
hair
her hair,
sentient?
Her hair's not
would
sentient.
We describe it?
It kind of snakes around. She can command it. She can tie people up with it without like
no.
using her
no,
hands.
She just
her hands.
Yeah.
No. She gets Pascal at the beginning with the wisp of her the end of her
hair. Yeah, but she's like whipping him with the hair. It's like
she's all the way back holding on to the hair. What
it is?
Much further
down. It is
her
snaking
hair
around.
Is not magical. Her, she has really good.
Wait.
She's really dexterous. She's really used to
her
using
hair
her hair.
It is magical, and she does have control over it. Yes. But it's not sentient.
Yes.
Okay. It's prehensile though. Yeah.
Yeah.
She can like pick stuff up with
it. She uses it like a rope, and it's more of like. An animation thing in that case, and I think it is
a superpower.
Yeah, and I feel like she is just as good with her hair as Indiana Jones is with his whip.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and hers is better conditioned than his whip,
and
too.
It's
yeah,
more versatile.
More versatile.
Looks less like a snake.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the hair animation is great. I actually really like that. Hair is difficult to animate in any medium, and they need to do a lot with it, and it needs to kind of be its own character. And I think they do a great job with that.
That's one thing that I want to talk about too is it looks great.
It looks
like
gorgeous.
The first time she lowers down, and you get the downward look of all the grass and everything. so many blades of grass, and
yeah,
the environments look pretty good.
So it's always, I always go back and forth because I am one of the holdouts. I do love 2D animation.
Me too.
And I have to say that this movie looked really good for being 3D. I don't know if you've gone back to watch Shrek. That's kind of rough.
Yeah.
But Tangled is completely, like, there's a little stiffness in some of the facial animations, but otherwise it's completely watchable and pretty, and like you completely delve into the world of this animation, and it's lovely. I don't think it's as cool and unique as 2D animation.
No.
I feel like it's a little generic. There's only a couple of things that I feel like stand out, like the animation of the sun symbol. I think that, so I'm gonna jump tracks as though I'm using my hair as a whip.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say one of the things that I like this movie, but there are things that I don't like about the movie. And so one of the things is, like, I feel like there's a lot of plot holes in this movie that aren't existent in a lot of other Disney movies.
Interesting.
Like, for example, like the fact that Maximus can rescue Flynn from the scaffold by going to the Snuggly Duckling. How did Maximus do that? How did he do that? Maximus can't talk, and Maximus is a police horse. There's no way those outlaws would believe a police horse.
Yeah. I like the whole bit with the horse. I like that the horse is kind of an antagonist for a lot of the movie, and then they became... Did we need the chameleon? I'm just going to throw it out there. Do we need... I know it's just Disney practice to throw in adorable animal sidekicks so you can make plushies out of them, but did we need this chameleon? He doesn't really add anything for me. I don't know. Feel like, am I being overly mean?
It gives her a reason to not be insane.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think that's true. I think if she didn't have a pet, she would be bonkers.
Because the pinnacle of sanity is a young woman sitting in a tower alone talking to a lizard. Yeah,
I mean, she was there for 17 years and then what, 364 days?
Yeah,
so, something like that. I would have lost my mind if I didn't have... I would have made things to talk to.
Yeah.
Which would be way worse than talking to...
There'd be a Wilson the Volleyball instead of Pascal.
There would be, yeah.
There'd be like four of them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to... I'm glad the movie doesn't dig too deep into what kind of trauma this would be like for a young woman to grow up like this. But to your point earlier, the issue that I think is just kind of... hanging over this whole movie is that Rapunzel as a character just doesn't really pop. You know, she just doesn't really she doesn't really have much agency.
I think she pops at the beginning, but she dives off as Flynn becomes sort of the paramount importance character.
These roguish types are a lot of fun on film, and I think Flynn is a lot of fun, but like he does kind of eat up a lot of the oxygen in this movie.
Well, and I think it's interesting because, like, going back to Maximus, I loved Maximus.
Yeah.
And the person I was watching with was just like, hey, what if Maximus was a person trapped in a horse's body? And I was like, yeah, but then he'd deserve Rapunzel, not not Flynn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Flynn does a lot of growing. And I think that's why we lose Rapunzel, is because they instead start focusing on his character development.
Well, and it's like, her I want song is, I want to see some sprinkly lights instead of, I want to get out of the tower. You know, I don't know whether or not that this is like, I want to leave.
Yeah.
Like, instead of having that really strong want, she's like, I want to see the sparkly lights.
It could be that they were... trying to put something along the lines of, like, she feels destined to be, like, she's being drawn.
Well, yeah, but I don't feel like it works, because I think it makes an 18-year-old seem like a little stupid.
Yeah, she, and especially, like, they establish that she spends pretty much every day, like, reading and doing the arts, and, like she's doing things to enrich herself, but, like, and it's a delicate act to play, because she needs to be naive without being an idiot, you know, and she... But ultimately, she just feels too kind of obsequious. She just sort of follows everybody around. She's super optimistic and pleasant and, like, accommodating in a lot of ways. And it's, I don't know. I don't like picking on performances either. But, like, I think Mandy Moore just feels a little lightweight for this. I don't know. She's just very breathy.
I don't have a problem with Mandy Moore's performance. I feel like Mandy Moore really brought... the character to life in a lot of ways and did a lot of the heavy lifting that the script was sort of neglecting.
Mm.
But I can see your point because, like, she definitely has this sort of airy quality to her voice. That
especially in her singing. Like, there's just her singing is always like technically perfect and very pretty, but like there's no character in it.
She's a modern singer.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like when you go to Frozen and you have, now I've always pronounced her name correctly, and now I'm going to do a John Travolta and probably pronounce it incorrectly. And damn it, I can't do it.
You just want to say Menzel.
Menzel. I'm just, yeah, Idina. That's all. Yeah, Idina Menzel. Idina Menzel. She has such gravitas, and so does like someone like Krista Chenoweth from Wicked. And there's just such gravitas. But
those are like Broadway ladies who you believe have seen someone die in a knife fight. You know, that's what I want from Mandy Moore. She's from Oklahoma. Okay, they
get a lot of knife fights.
Yeah, there are a lot of knife fights in Oklahoma.
The state flag of Oklahoma is a guy getting stabbed with a knife.
See, I didn't get that. That's not true.
Yeah, you didn't. Hey, Judd actually dies.
He falls on a knife.
I've seen it once, and I was really bored.
Literally, a character dies in Oklahoma from getting stabbed in a knife fight. Yeah, that happens. So, yeah, no, but I mean, look, it's supposed to be a very young, innocent lady, and like, I understand where they're coming from, and they're also throwing back to the early 90s when, you know, these Disney princess characters who were similarly, I would argue, kind of thinly drawn and obsequious. We've fought deadly on this.
I think Belle is the worst case there, but sure. I think the other ones, no, they have personality.
Love Belle. Because I read books as a child, so like I really identified with Belle.
Yeah,
and the Beast is hot.
There we go. So it's okay that he Stockholm
like a
syndromes her.
Thing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
he becomes less hot as a human.
Wait, does he wear pants?
Yeah,
he wears pants.
Okay, yeah. I only associate Robin Hood. Like, my theory is that so many women were attracted to that animated Robin Hood just because he didn't wear pants.
Have you ever seen Bette La Belle?
Oh, yeah. The,
it's so interesting
Renoir,
how
yeah.
much Disney ripped off from that movie.
That movie's insane, yeah.
That movie is wild, but in that the classic French movie, it's black and white, and it's a classic of cinema.
Yeah,
you should definitely watch it.
Absolutely.
Gaston character and the Beast character are played by the same actor.
Yeah.
So it has this really interesting dimension of, like, two men being both her savior and her tormentor.
Yeah.
Like, it has these really interesting connotations. And when it comes back to Tangled, I feel like the mother-daughter angle is like really where I feel like they could have doubled down on it. Like, I would have personally liked Gothel to stay alive. Like, I think it would
it's ambiguous
thing.
Yeah, we don't
know
that she died.
She's super dead. She evaporated into nothing. But anyway, back to things that I loved about this movie. I love Maximus.
Yeah,
he's
adorable.
He's so it's so easy to get these sort of side characters, animal characters wrong.
Yeah.
And I would argue that I feel like Moana the chicken is the most annoying part of Moana.
He's just like an obstacle. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just worried that he's going to die on the open ocean all the time.
They made the error of making him too stupid to be endearing, because he just has no self-preservation. But Maximus does feel like a new spin on the animal sidekick.
I don't know. He's always
trend.
Horsing around.
Zing a zing zing.
Zing zing zing.
And what do we think of the songs in this movie? Like, they've kind of slowly endeared themselves to me. None of these really made an impression the first time I watched them. Now I'm starting to kind of.
The mother song made an impression. I have a whole playlist of villain songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good villain song. The initial song towards the end, what's it called? See, this is the thing. It's like I enjoy it, but I don't remember the lyrics. The falling in love song in the boat.
Oh, I see the light or
yeah,
whatever.
I see the
light. Yeah.
I liked it, I liked it definitely more last night when I was watching it. But it definitely it's not like a sha la 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 do do do.
Yeah, it's going for more of a whole new world kind of vibe, which again just feels a little outdated.
But again, it's not a whole new world. Like you,
yeah.
Like,
Those
ones are burned into your memory
forever. Yeah,
I haven't even seen that was Aladdin.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen proper Aladdin before, and I knew.
Wow.
Yeah. I always make references.
You
to that.
Gotta watch Aladdin.
The only Aladdin I've seen is the live action one.
Oh, that's a bad one to
you
see.
Watch
I don't know. I don't know if I have Stockholm syndrome regarding the live action Aladdin, because I watched it three times because I was
really?
I was like. you know when you're traveling and you need to watch something with family members and you're like, and you're watching and you're like, my, like something that, you know, the cross platforms, I'm like, I can watch Aladdin with my mom. I can watch Aladdin with my brother.
Yeah. I never attempted the live action one because I hate those live action remakes. And I hate Guy Ritchie, you know, so it's like it's a double dose of things I'm not going to like.
I hate them, but I think Will Smith wasn't as bad as I thought he would be.
Well, sure.
He was definitely charming and very good as the genie. He's not Robin Williams. No. But I think the biggest thing is that they sort of cut down on the menace of Jafar.
Oh,
Jafar,
yeah.
First of all, yeah. Like Jafar plays like very similarly aged. They aged him real, really down.
Yeah.
And they sort of got rid of a lot of his menace because the guy who plays him is very hot, but he's not like Jafar hot, if you know what I mean.
I mean, we're gonna go into all okay, let's clarify hot. What Jafar,
I think we're learning a lot. I don't want to
go
too,
I don't want to go too off track because we are gonna have an Aladdin episode someday, but I need to dig into what Jafar hot
I
means.
Mean, look, okay, the scene with Jasmine in the red get up
yeah,
kind of hot.
Sure.
I guess I'm on board.
Wait, Jafar in that scene or Jasmine that in that scene? Because Jasmine in that scene, I'm with you. But yeah,
the whole sequence there.
Jafar is attractive but disgusting.
He always put off pedophile vibes to me.
No, he's not a pedophile.
Yes.
No.
Oh, come on. He's like this creepy, like older man in power. He's all gaunt and spindly, and he's got the. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
He's not. It's not pedophile. He wants Jasmine. So he can be the soul.
Yeah, he's not actually into Jasmine. I would say he's more like he's got this weird flirtation with Aladdin more than anything.
Maybe. All right, we'll table that for now. We're gonna get back into that.
And I will also say Scar is also hot.
That one.
That's Jeremy Irons. You know, that's there's a lot coming through in the voice on that one. Tangled. I think we kind of covered the movie here.
I think we should talk a little bit more about the movie, and I think that I want to hear what people like about this movie because it was. Success
and it is good
and
I like it.
And I just like there are a lot of things to like, and sometimes I feel like as a podcaster I sometimes get dragged down into the things that I'm like nitpicky about instead of the things that I love to celebrate and like and I really do like Zachary Levi being Flynn Rider. I think it's a really fun turn. He's very charming. I love the mother, like the mother character. She's so devious.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a really interesting thing because like these are children's stories and like you're trying to warn children about the future in all these stories because that's a classic sort of folklore stance. And like nowadays we're trying to like do like, hey, maybe your mother is a bad person. Hey, maybe don't marry the person that you've known for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so it's interesting to see the new Disney villains and how they are warnings for the youth.
Yeah, no, there really is a lot to like about it. It's an important movie for what it sort of set the table for like the next 10 years of Disney, which was just sort of unprecedented success, even beyond the princess element of the Frozen movies. Like you had the Wreck-It Ralph, you had Zootopia, Big Hero 6. All these movies were really good. Oh, Wreck-It Ralph is great.
I've heard really good things about it.
I like that movie a lot. I like both of those.
Yeah, on the bus in a field trip.
Nice. Yeah.
In the bus on a field trip.
Yeah. In the bus.
Frozen was a movie that I hadn't seen for a very long time. And then I was like, oh, it's a kid's movie. And then my roommates were watching it and I sat down and I'm like, all right, this is a good
it's
movie.
Good.
This
no,
is
it's
a, this is a good movie. And then we watched the second one and I was like, all right, well, I think we've all cried now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting movie and it is important for the whole like kind of Disney pantheon,
yeah,
I think.
But like it's a good movie, but it doesn't hit as hard.
Yeah. I think it's a good movie, but it's not spectacular.
Yes.
Like
no.
And I feel like that it's hard to hold up like a movie that would just be fantastic when you held it up to the pantheon of Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, a lot of this could just be the troubled production, and like I didn't even mention that the original director had a heart attack while he was making it, and he had to step away to go recover. And so they brought in two new directors like a year before the movie came out. So like they went through a lot to get this movie out. And so like when Frozen came out, it felt a little bit more successful at merging the old and the new than this one does. And when this one feels more like a throwback with kind of like hints at sort of what could be done.
I've always been been fascinated. So when I worked at the Disney store as a Christmas temp.
Oh, did you? Oh, my God.
And first of all, it was really fun.
Okay.
Like it was crazy because they were working at Christmas time at a Disney store.
Oh, yeah.
But it was really, like, first of all, the thing that I really recommend most about the Disney store experience is the fact that they play Disney songs, but it's like a 2-hour long CD. So you don't get, like, it's not just 4 songs.
Okay, that's good.
I feel like it being a 2-hour long CD isn't enough if you work there.
It was fine because, like, you only heard, like, this, like, 1 song 4 times a day. It wasn't so bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, if
I'm just saying I was grateful because those songs are catchy as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Way better than what I listened to at Kroger for 3 years. So I get it.
But it was really interesting because I've always been fascinated and I wish, I know I do a lot of, like, wishing that there was a box office for video games, but I wish there was a box office for toys.
Yeah,
I'm super curious because I feel like one of the reasons why Tangled didn't like survive that much as a legacy was the fact that they didn't have as many toy options.
Yeah, that really is such a big part of the picture for so many of these movies.
Yeah, because like you're not doing a lot when you're like no one's coming and asking for it. Like maybe one person an entire season will be like, hey, can I get a Rapunzel?
I mean, it did well, but then, yeah, again, I keep comparing it to Frozen, but Frozen was such a bonanza merchandising and with, like, the songs and
it
with everything.
It still is.
It still is, yeah.
It still is. Like, you will watch, like, if you go, like, for a walk on a Saturday afternoon, you'll see a little girl in an Elsa costume.
Yeah. No, you definitely will. Well, let's move on and talk about the game a little bit. So Tangled, the video game, it came out around the same time as this movie did in 2010. It's developed by Planet Moon Studios, and it's published by Disney Interactive. It was released on the Wii, the DS, and on Windows. So Planet Moon Studios, I'd never really heard of them before, but they were an offshoot of Shiny Entertainment. If you know them, they were the people who made like Earthworm Jim, games like that. And they are actually responsible for 2 genuine, like, cult video game weirdo like offshoots. One of them is called Giants Citizen Kabuto, which is like a very weird game where you play as a giant. And then the other is called Armed and Dangerous. And I don't know if anyone, people may not be familiar with that name, but they might have seen the image of the gun that shoots sharks. That's where that comes from, is Armed and Dangerous. Armed and Dangerous is really
fun. An arm that shoots sharks, you say? I'm intrigued.
It's cool. It shoots like a vortex into the ground, and then a gigantic shark jumps out. It's called Armed and Dangerous. It was released on the original Xbox, I believe. It's like a multiplayer shooter. It sort of made its...
Was it based off of Armed and Dangerous, the John Candy movie?
It was not. No, not at all. Not at all. No, not in the least.
Are we going to have an episode on this one later?
No, I wish. But yeah, this game's genuinely strange and a lot of fun, actually. It's a multiplayer shooter where you just have ridiculously outlandish weapons. And that's always kind of a fun concept. But this Tangled game would prove to be their very last game. They were bought and then dissolved like immediately after this.
Who bought them?
I don't remember. It's a company called like BitPoint or something. It's like a data mining thing. I don't even know what they did. But they bought them. They took their assets and then they shut down the studio. So a bit of a shame. We played this game on Steam, but it was very clearly designed for the Wii. Like it's got the low-res Wii graphics, and even the button mapping on the screen when we were playing this was like coming up with like the Wii button
icons.
So
we were playing it 2-player, where one player was using the keyboard, one was using an Xbox controller. And the keyboard controls were showing up normally, but the Xbox controller controls were showing up as the Wii controller.
Yeah. And this is a co-op, like, platformer game, which is a fun idea. You know, one person plays Flynn, one person plays Rapunzel.
I love co-op games.
I do too, yeah.
Like, I'm such a sucker. I feel like they're under, like, utilized by society.
Absolutely. Like, Ailish and I play a lot of them. Like, whenever we can find a good one, like, we'll play through it. Highly recommend It Takes Two and A Way Out, both by the same developer. Yeah. And they were designed from the ground up to be a co-op experience with each player doing different things.
I've only played A Way Out, but it was a great time.
Yeah,
It Takes Two is a little bit better.
It's better, I think. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, yeah. So we love a good co-op game. And I think generally this game is pretty solid, but I do want to discuss some of the weird sort of gender politics that are happening in this game. If some of these issues were kind of hinted at in the movie, but I think the game really exacerbates a lot of these issues here. All right, so you play as either Flynn or Rapunzel, and each of them get their own like sort of special abilities. Flynn has a dagger and he can cut through thorns. He can climb walls. He can dig for treasure and he can break heavy objects. Rapunzel uses her frying pan, which, again, it's from the movie, but there is some imagery there that I'm just like, all right, you use kitchen utensil.
So can she actually break anything?
She can break through the thorns, I think.
No, she can't. Well, and it's interesting. We didn't play it single player, but I'm guessing that they would have had to let her break through things if it was single player.
Yeah.
Because, otherwise you can't get up. I don't know.
You'd have to swap.
Yeah,
but she, obviously she has her very long hair that like trails behind her, and she uses that to gather sunlight from flowers.
Yeah. The worst animated hair.
This game looks pretty rough. If you haven't looked at a Wii game in a while, especially looking at it on Steam, where games are usually up-resed and look pretty good, this is fuzzy, it's out of focus, it's got a lot of low-res imagery, and her hair just looks like this. It looks like somebody's playing a game of Snake on their cell phone behind her all the time.
And
we were experiencing some real graphical hiccups in the cutscenes in particular.
Some of the trees would just start doing flips.
Ghost trees.
The lighting on Rapunzel would just kind of fade in and out between her being in complete shadow and her being in complete daylight.
Yeah.
While standing in complete daylight.
Yeah, it was just flashing back and forth. I don't think we had too much problem in the game with those graphical images, but the cutscenes looked that
way. Honestly, the gameplay was pretty smooth.
It was, but we just need to examine that a little bit. Why is Rapunzel's sole ability to gather sunlight from flowers to keep her hair shiny while Flynn is running around doing all the dirty work here? What are we trying to say here? Are you giving this game to your kids hoping that a boy sibling and the girl sibling are playing these roles? What's going on here?
Rapunzel really does not contribute anything within the gameplay, as far as I noticed. She can have her hair grappling hook, but that's just to go make more flowers grow.
She can hit people with frying pans. I was enjoying that part.
And she can.
But when you get to the guards the first time, it says Flynn Rider can protect Rapunzel.
Yeah.
But
and a lot of her utility is coming from getting up on higher ledges and letting a man climb her hair, which looks so painful.
Yes.
Even if she's gripping it and kind of cutting it off from pulling out her roots, it looks painful.
You can use her hair to swing at specific points, and then almost every time it's either A, just here's some flowers, go collect them and then drop back down, or B, go walk over here and there's the part where you can let Flynn up.
And all of this I was kind of getting into. It's all very shaggy, it's pretty simple and laid back, and you are just sort of walking around. It was scratching a similar itch to me as the Lego games, I love, because it's just sort of switch your brain off. I was enjoying it in that kind of passive gaming sort of there's no real threat or tension in this game. It is obviously intended for very young audiences, and it has that simplicity level.
Justin jumped off a cliff to see what would happen.
I did.
What happened?
You just reappear back on the land.
Oh, sure. Just in real life. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. Yeah, so it has that kind of calming quality that the Lego games have when they're at their best, and so I appreciated that, but just some of those dynamics were really standing out to me. Rapunzel just does seem way underpowered compared to the more traditional just sword brute, and also that's not Flynn's characterization in the movie. He is not a sword wielding badass. He can handle himself in a fight if he has to, but
in fact,
he's a fancy boy who talks his way out of situations.
The one time that he ever really fights, he's fighting with a frying pan.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. That's more the zone that he's in, and that makes him likable.
We do need to talk about the painting aspect of this game.
Oh my god, how could I forget the painting aspect of this game? Please, yeah, tell us about it.
So, this was also clearly meant for the Wiimote.
Yes.
But you get to paint over the posters of Flynn Rider. But you only start out with three colors, and you have to unlock more as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird mechanic. Like, it's like, we're going to give you this whole paintbrush and this easel and everything, and you can paint in, like, white, green, and yellow until you search for all the goo-gaws around the world.
Also, they're, like, mildly transparent, so you're not accomplishing anything. You can still fully see Flynn Rider under the paint.
Oh, yeah.
And also, we got two new colors, but never did we find... We didn't find another thing to paint.
No,
which
no.
I was sad about. It looked like... there's a game called Rust, and in Rust you can make signs where you just draw whatever you want on the sign.
Yeah.
And it looked a lot similar to how that went.
You know, okay.
Like, you're not going to get nuance out of this. Maybe even worse than in Rust.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you achieve anything by that painting too. Over the posters, or if it's just like, look, we included the posters in the painting.
It's
yeah.
like when you go to a restaurant and with the kids' meal they give, like, they hand them a, oh my god, what's it called,
coloring sheet
and crayons.
Yeah.
And they ignore the lines and just draw all over the place because that's what, you know.
And if they're a good restaurant, it's an entirely paper tablecloth, so you can draw over the whole table.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Bring that back.
Has a maze on it or something.
Oh, yeah. Got to have a maze. A word search. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could fuck with the word search right now. Yeah.
Restaurants are so much better as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
100%.
Also because you didn't have to pay for it.
No.
You just got mac and cheese.
Yeah.
No, your parents paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, it wasn't free.
You showed
they were just
up
giving it to you.
And you were given mac and cheese.
Yeah.
That was coloring how it sheet. Went. And a coloring sheet and some crayons.
Yeah.
And if you didn't like the mac and cheese, you could eat the crayons.
There you go. That's true. That's true. That's very true. Universally, if you don't like mac and cheese,
all
eat some crayons.
All Rose Art is good for.
That's all. Yes, exactly. Yeah, Crayola is at least nutritional. Yeah. Well, do we have anything else to say about Tangled, the movie, or the game before we go to our rankings?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Are we ranking Tangled as a good movie, good game, bad movie, bad game, or some combination in between? How about special guest Ailish Collins? What do you think?
I think good movie, bad game. I'm tempted to bring up Barbie.
Do it.
You've been very good all episode.
Barbie as Rapunzel fucking kicks ass as far as Barbie movies go. Angelica Houston is Mother Gothel.
I do love that.
Barbie has a lot more autonomy. She also paints, which is not in the original story. I think Disney took a lot from Barbie as Rapunzel.
Disney steal ideas?
Heaven forfend!
But she uses her paint magically to, like, create her own doorway, and she saves the prince, like, on her own. Also, she has a little dragon friend.
Oh,
way
yeah.
Way better than a chameleon.
That's true.
And so,
wow, it does sound like they ripped off a lot from this.
Right?
Yeah.
But also, the game is, you know, again, heavy painting, also co-op. They took a lot from Barbie as Rapunzel, and I think it's better. But I do like Tangled as a movie, not so much as a game.
Okay.
I think girl games get less work put into them, and this was a victim of that.
They definitely tend to do that, yeah. I'm going to say good movie, marginal good game. I did not have a bad time with this game. It, like I said, it scratches that similar itch that really works for my ADHD of that... The Lego sort of easygoing collect-a-thon. You know, it's a good game to, like, turn the volume off and just listen to podcasts or something. Although we should say Mandy Moore and Zachary Levi came back and recorded original dialogue for the game. So if you're a super fan, you can check it out for that. But yeah, I like this movie. I don't love this movie, but I do like it. I think it's important. And I think the game is, you know, it's not embarrassing. Just got some weird politics, I think. J-Ban, how about you?
I think it's a good movie, very entertaining, and I think it's an okay game. Like I, like Steve said, I could easily just like play this for an afternoon and just be relaxed and just like just play this game as a co-op game because it's just like it. You just, I love co-op games.
Yeah.
And even this game, which is not very good, but it's still entertaining as a co-op game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say good movie, okay game.
Yeah.
I think everything's already been said on it for the most part.
Well, fair enough. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Ailish, for being here. Just in general, in my life, I really enjoy having you around. Yes. You're about to say something mean to me. I can see your face curling up into meanness.
Gross.
There it is. There it is. So everybody be sure to tune in next week. We've got an interesting one we're going to tackle. A movie that anytime I bring this up, people are like, there's a game of that? We're talking about 2006's The Da Vinci Code. That's right. We are cracking the code, folks. We're watching the Tom Hanks movie and we are playing the game. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We will see you for The Da Vinci Code next week, everybody. All right. I'm just going to whip my hair over here at the recorder and see if I can turn it on. Oh, wait. No, I'm a brunette. I can't do it. Yeah, would you do the...
And also your hair's not sentient.
It's not. It's not anymore. No, I cut it.